Our cosmos, our world, and God at the center of his universe. Isn't that encouraging? And Job must have begun to find it encouraging. He says, how faint the whisper we hear of him. Who then can understand the thunder of his power? You see, Job is only getting a whisper, and creation to Job, it's wonderful, but it's only a whisper of God. It's only the outer fringes of his being. This majestic, awe-inspiring creation is only a whisper for Job. And so he was never privileged to hear the voice of God, just the whisper in creation. The voice of God in incarnation, he was not privileged to hear, but we are. Listen to these words of Scripture. God spoke, and the world was. God, the voice of God speaking in his creation amid the noise of today's world. His creation, in creation, God spoke. But then secondly, notice, the voice of incarnation, God comes. God is coming. In creation, yes, but in coming. And so the whisper becomes a clear voice for us. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 2. God spoke in his Son. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 6. God, who said, let light shine out of darkness, made his light shine in our hearts. The knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. You see, that's our privilege, to understand that. Job couldn't understand that. He was only getting a little faint whisper. But we have the voice of incarnation. And then, thirdly, we also have the shout of the cross. In creation, in coming, and in the cross. Chapter 26, verse 6, evil has entered the world. Job says, death is naked before God. And he says in the same verse, destruction lies uncovered. So death and destruction have entered the cosmos, have entered the world. Notice verse 12 of chapter 26. By his power, says Job, he cut Rahab to pieces. That is the monster, the female monster of chaos in the old understanding. And in verse 13 of chapter 26, his hand pierced the gliding serpent. And of course, that leads us into Revelation and the New Testament that we are privileged to understand, not only Hebrews and 1 Corinthians, but also the book of Revelation. We have all this. Job didn't. Revelation 12, verse 9, the great dragon was hurled down, that ancient serpent called the devil or Satan. Only the cross could achieve that victory. So the whisper of creation, the shout of incarnation, and the voice of incarnation, and the shout of the cross, it's all here for us. And then that leads to the thunder of his power. Chapter 26, verse 14 says Job, who then can understand the thunder of his power? We can, Job couldn't, yet. But hold your breath, it's coming. So Job, chapter 27 to 31, Job concludes the three rounds of the dialogue we've been looking at over these weeks, and you have a passionate Job. Verse 2 of chapter 27. You can just feel his passion. As surely as God lives, as long as I have the breath of God in my nostrils, I will never admit you're right. Till I die, I will not deny my integrity. I will maintain my righteousness as long as I live. Passionate Job, hurling this to his friends who have been such poor comforters. So verse 14 of chapter 26, who then can understand the thunder of his power? As surely as I live, as long as I have the breath of God in my nostrils, I will never admit you're in the right till I die. He knows he's innocent, but being righteous is different. And this is what we need to grasp this morning. So the passionate Job continues in chapter 27, verse 11. He says to his friends, I will teach you the power of God, the ways of the Almighty. Why then this meaningless talk? All this dialogue, all this nonsense that you keep on, yap, 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 yap. I'm going to show you the power of God. But he didn't really totally understand that, did he? Job turns his back on his friend's viewpoint. His faith, my brothers and sisters, his faith in the darkness, it must leap the vast distance to God as the righteous one and yet the Saviour of Isaiah 45. God will responsibly take up the burden of evil which has entered the world. Job didn't know that. He only got a glimpse, as we've been hearing, I know that my Redeemer lives. He cried out to God, oh, that I had an umpire, oh, that I had an mediator, oh, that I could reach up to God with one hand and know him. But Job wasn't allowed that. But we are. We have an intermediate. We have an intermediate. We have a Saviour. We have a Lord, Jesus. And God has taken the burden of evil which has come into his world, of which he's the sole owner and maker. And his Son, the Lord Jesus, will absorb and quench the sins of the whole world. So that's the thunder of his power that's coming. God making righteous, not just dealing with the root cause of sin, not just dealing with setting right the wrongs of the suffering and the injustice. God is going to do something. The thunder of his power will become very clear as we move on. The sinless Son of God endures the anger, the wrath of a holy God against sin. And so we have, as we come to communion in a moment or two, we have the broken bread that speaks of a broken body of the Lord Jesus. As the sinless Son of God, the voice of incarnation, God comes into the world in Jesus, and he comes to suffer and to die, to take our sin, to endure God's wrath against sin and deal with it forever. Does Job begin perhaps to sense this thunder of his power, not just the whisper of his creation? So then in chapter 29, Job asserts his innocence publicly. He says, oh, for the days when God's intimate friendship blessed my house. Verse 18, I thought I will die in my own house. That's where things were going before this story begins. He had this intimate relationship with God. Verse 20 of chapter 29, he says, my glory will remain fresh in me, the bow ever new in my right hand, in my hand. That was his expectation, until these calamities overcame him. And chapter 30, but now. That's what I hoped, that's what I expected, but now, he says, now God has unstrung my bow. Are you okay? You're beginning to catch what God is saying through these words? I know it's a bit dark, isn't it? It should have been white on black, but we didn't get white on the blue, but I'm sorry about that. But there we are. So, what's happening? God has unstrung his bow, and Job lies broken. Chapter 30, verse 20, I cry out to you, O Lord, but you don't answer. He's unheard by God. Verse 28. I stand up in the assembly and cry for help. You know, he's there at church, in his church, and they don't understand. So he's unheard by God and he's unheard by men. And Job lies broken. And you know, our world lies broken too. Isn't it? It's a broken world. And so broken Job speaks to us of a broken world. Is that your world? Again and again, Emilian's been saying, is this where you are? Broken? Suffering? In trouble? No one listening? No one understanding? And so Job is a very real person and a very real message for you. So into this brokenness, into this total dismay, undoing of Job, comes Elihu, this young man, this guy who's got all the answers, unfeeling Elihu. Chapter 32, let me read these words of verses 1 to 5. Elihu steps onto the stage full of confidence. He sees this broken man before him. He sees this suffering old man. So these three men stopped answering Job, chapter 32, verse 1. Because he was righteous in his own eyes. He wasn't, but he was innocent, but he wasn't righteous yet. But Elihu, son of Barachel, the Buzite, of the family of Ram, became very angry with Job for justifying himself rather than God. He was also angry with the three friends because they had found no way to refute Job and yet had condemned him. Now Elihu had waited before speaking to Job because they were older than he. What a pity he didn't go on waiting. But when he saw that the three men had nothing more to say, his anger was aroused, so he then began to speak. This confident young man, not hearing words rightly. A young man, named and known. We have his family history. And he says in verse 8 of chapter 32, it's the spirit in a man, the breath of the Almighty that matters. And of course, I've got the spirit. You see how he's coming across. I have the spirit of God. I know. And I want you to hear this, Job. I'm filled with the spirit. Not hearing words rightly, who sees a little and who talks a lot. Is that like so many of us, isn't it? Addison says, catching the words but not the sense. Job's passionate words are misunderstood and unheeded. He hasn't a clue. Not hearing words rightly but not speaking words helpfully, this young man either. Chapter 33, verse 8. As he goes on and on and on, Job tries to interrupt him. He says, you've said in my hearing, I heard the very words. Here's what you said, Job. I heard you say it. The words of the heresy hunter. Expressions snapped up out of their factual contexts. Balancing statements conveniently forgotten. I heard you say it, Job. Pay attention, Job, and listen to me. Job, poor old Job, he tries to say something in his defense, and he says, oh, shut up, Job. I'm not finished yet. Listen to me. I know it all. Does Job try to speak, to interrupt? I think probably he was sadly silent. He's nearer to understanding Calvary than Elihu and his friends were. And we will be nearer understanding Calvary when we're broken. In his second speech in chapter 34, Elihu is awful. Merely repeating theological truths will seldom meet the needs of those who, battered in life, are asking, why? Elihu was never thought of applying the theory he has learned by heart to life around him. It's all in his head. Orthodox, but empty. Cold, detached theology. Not hearing words rightly. Not speaking words helpfully. And notice, thirdly, not praying words feelingly. Chapter 35, verses 1 to 8. For Elihu, there's a manageable, a predictable God, unaffected by human righteousness or sin. He's away there. He's unaffected. Verses 9 to 16, an uncaring perfectionist view of unanswered prayer. Are you struggling with unanswered prayer? And this kind of theology doesn't do anything for you. Notice what he says. Verse 10 of chapter 35. Where is God my maker who gives songs in the night? That's what you should have, Job. Songs in the night. Come on. Jump up. Snap out of it. Start rejoicing, Job. Start having songs in the night. Come on. You know, there are Christians that talk like that. There are folks who say, well, where's your testimony? Where's your song in the night, Job? Not enough faith. That's your problem. Your motives are wrong. And there's sin in your life. Very encouraging. That's why you can't sing, Job. You're a sinner. And you're stubborn. Not praying words feelingly. Chapter 35, verse 14. You say, you don't see him. Verse 16, you open your mouth with empty talk. Job lives, my brothers and sisters, in the suspense of faith, praying without guarantee. This is where Job is. He's broken and his prayers are unanswered. And so we pray for our sick and hurting world. We don't pray as those who are righteous, those who know it all, those who have got the answers. We don't say to people who are suffering and down, come on, get it together. Where's your song in the night? And then in the middle of all this spouting, notice, and all this pious talk, God begins to appear. Chapter 36, verse 22, through to chapter 37, verse 24. It's wonderful. The margin of chapter 36, verse 33 reads, his thunder announces his coming. The one zealous against evil. God is coming. God, is this a theophany? Is God actually coming? The roar of his voice, chapter 37, verse 2. Something happened there. We're going backwards. We'll get to it perhaps. Job's agony. Only the voice of God himself would satisfy him. The world's agony. He brings the cloud, verse 13 of chapter 37, very interesting verse. He brings the clouds to punish men, that's one aspect, one possibility, or to water his earth and show his love. Which is it going to be for your world? Are you going to come to the love of God as we've been singing and worshipping? This word, love, this is hesed, this is covenant love. Is it the rod of punishment for the world? Or the love for his earth. The love of Calvary for the world and for you and for me. And we're going to consider the broken body of the Lord Jesus. We're going to consider the one who came in incarnation, who took the sin of the world and died and then rose again from the dead and went back to the Father, sent the Holy Spirit into the world so that we can hear his words, understand his word, and speak to others with feeling and with understanding, not like Elihu. Oh God, help us to be broken so that we can speak to broken people. Amen. Don't